The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all. Watch." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's, I wonder as I listen, in my ear here to the music coming out of Walmart, whether or not people over there, if they were to hear this gospel proclaimed today, would have any idea what we were doing or what season it was we're celebrating. I just say, what does this have to do with Christmas? Right? And they'd be kind of huddled up in the corner crying, like, what is this? What are we doing here? Why using this gospel passage? Surely there are better gospel passages for the season. And of course, we would say, not at all. This is a great gospel passage for our season. We just have to understand any number of things about the season in order to really roll up our sleeves and participate in it the way the church proposes it for us and for our edification, for our being built up as the body of Christ. So we see, yeah, of course, here, this passage we use from the Gospel of Mark, it gives us some sense, actually, of the apocalypse. I know everybody's all into the apocalypse these days, but let me tell you, it's not a novel thing for our day that people are fascinated by the end of the world. This is something that we could look at almost any time and any season and see that reality, people talking about the end of the age. And here, Jesus is giving us some sense of the end of the age in the gospel passage. And he's talking about being on the lookout, watching so that we can participate in the new world that is breaking in. As we seek to separate ourselves a little bit from what animates the old world that's coming to an end, we're looking for the new world that's coming in. Now, okay, let's frame this and see why this might be appropriate for this season. Well, my friends, Advent is to be taken in two bites, okay? The first is this beginning part of the Advent season, the first couple weeks or so, where we anticipate Jesus's second coming. Jesus will come again. And so we want to be prepared for the time of his arrival, for the time of the firm and final and full implementation of his kingdom. What do we have in the second part of the season from December 17th through to the 24th, through Christmas Eve, is the O Antiphons. You remember, O come, Emmanuel, where we are praying in eager preparation for Jesus's being born among us in Bethlehem. That's the second part of this season as we kind of get ramped up for Jesus's birth, the nativity that we celebrate then beginning the 24th and 25th, beginning Christmas Eve, the Christmas Eve masses, and the 25th Christmas Day masses, and the Christmas season. Okay, so two bites. Yeah? The first is, again, the preparation for Jesus's second coming, and then the second ramping up for his birth among us. And what's interesting, I think, about those two comings is that we live in between them. We live in this in-between time, okay? The first, Jesus is being born at Bethlehem, that's happened. And let me invite you to reflect on the fact that when we anticipate Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, we are awaiting a newborn king of the Jews. It's not simply God coming among us, but God's Messiah being born among us. We are awaiting, and think we can, whether it's by reflecting on the colors right? Purple is a kingly color. I love the fact that the cruises are Advent themed today in their coloring as well. We have the candles, which of course we don't have. You have to come to the church to see the Advent candles. But purple is a kingly color. So it's not simply that it's a penitential color. It's a kingly color, the color of kings, which is the color that they would wear. So we anticipate the birth of a newborn king of the Jews. Well, my friends, a king of the Jews would be also the Lord of all nations and the rightful ruler of every human heart. That's what we anticipate in Bethlehem, okay? But that has happened. It's happened. And Jesus has been enthroned already, right? We see him all the way through to the cross where his kingdom is inaugurated. And then what do we have? That's the one point. Then the end point is Jesus's return in glory, where the kingdom that he inaugurated on the cross will be firmly and finally and fully implemented, such that nothing at all that opposes the rule of Christ the King will stand. His kingdom will have come on earth as it is in heaven. We live between those points. So what's left for us? The first coming and the second coming. Well, my friends, there are other comings of Christ. And that's why we are drawn together today, both in the Walmart parking lot and to celebrate this baptism and to celebrate the Mass. Christ comes among us whenever we turn to him in prayer and sacrament. He comes to us to affect his rule in our lives. He comes to us that we might know the loving mercy of God, and that we might be a people drawn together to build up the civilization of love, the kingdom of mercy on earth as it is in heaven. We are in this in-between time. It's a perfect time for us to celebrate Advent, and vice versa, is that we are in this time where God's kingdom has been inaugurated, and we more and more are striving to bring about its firm and final and full implementation. It takes root, my friends, in our hearts. It takes root, my friends, one heart at a time. And so each and every one of us has to give ourselves over to God's loving rule made manifest for us in Christ Jesus today. That's what moves the sticks, as it were, right? That's what moves the chains. That's what advances the ball, is when we give ourselves over to the rule of King Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Okay, so much for Advent, right? No, Advent is a season where we are given over to these preparations in particular. And how do we do it, my friends? We do it with the age-old practices of every penitential season. It's not for nothing that Advent is called, in some traditions, mini Lent, because we are to use this time relying on the practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving to grow into the kingdom of God, which is nothing other than love, love of God, neighbor, God, self, and neighbor, or God, neighbor, and self, depending on how we take those practices. Here in the gospel passage, Jesus is talking about the end of the age and the beginning, the breaking in of a new age. The new age, the kingdom for which we are laboring, is nothing other than love. Love is, as St. Paul says, love endures. Love is all that endures. But we find ourselves in this in-between time, between motivations, as it were. Are we all love? Am I love in every fiber of my being? Am I love all the way through? If I'm not, then this season is a gift for me as I anticipate Jesus' coming again, so that I'm prepared for the full implementation of his kingdom. How do I do this, my friends? How do I prepare for the coming of Jesus? How do I give myself over more and more to love? Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Prayer, growing in love of God. Am I right? How do we grow, in love of God except by prayer? Like, prayer is what has us grow in love of God. How are we going to take on increased prayer, increased devotion, maybe increased sincerity in love for God? How are we going to make that happen this season? Some examples. I know you can't communicate to me, okay? I understand that. Maybe someone's pointing at the rosary hanging on their rearview mirror, right? Well, how about the rosary? How about we pray, if we don't pray the rosary every day, how about trying this Advent season? How long is the Advent season? How long is the Advent season? 4 weeks, right? It's not even 4 weeks. It's not even 4 weeks. It's like 3.5 weeks. We get 4 Sundays. This is the first, right? We haven't been about it for a week. So we got 3.5 weeks for Advent. Okay, let me go back to my spin class encouragements for you guys. You can do anything for 3.5 weeks. You can do anything for 3.5 weeks. What are we going to do in prayer? What little thing in addition are we going to do in prayer? Are we going to pray rosary? Are we going to pray a decade of the rosary? Are we going to wake up and the first thing we say is, thank you, Jesus, instead of, another day? No, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I will serve you, right? How are we going to do? Maybe we're going to pray the chaplet of divine mercy every day. Maybe we're going to take time to read the scriptures little by little, little by little. We started now with the Gospel of Mark here, this year B of the 3-year cycle. We have the Gospel of Mark. You could, if you read probably in your Bible 2 pages of the Gospel of Mark a day, you'd finish it by the end of the Advent season. Maybe that's something you want to take up. Anyway, you guys could talk about that amongst yourselves later, what you want to do in prayer. What about in fasting? I don't have to give you many examples, right? We know what fasting is, and we are surrounded, not just because we're right next to Walmart, but we're surrounded by creature comforts. Which one, or two, or three, which one are you going to give up? What are you going to live without? What's going to make you a little bit uncomfortable this Advent season? Why is that so important? Because love of self depends on it. Because here, indulging myself and loving myself are not the same thing. But we all too often think they are. So we have to give up some of the indulging myself so that we can live out a proper love of self. One of the things that we want to do is for love of myself, I want to get proper order on my loves. And that means then not living for the creature comforts that surround us and that intoxicate us, but living for the love of God. And the only way we do that is by severing some of the connection to the old world so that we can live into the new world that is nothing other than love. Right? We are all too often motivated by the things of the old world. And to live into the new world, sometimes we have to give some of those things up, right? So that's what's happening here in that second part of our penitential season. And of course, almsgiving, okay? Just a couple of things. One is you have to give financially. You have to give generously financially. You have to do it. There's no way around it, my friends. Can I tell you why? Because we live in a mammon-worshipping society, and it rubs off on us. And we have to be very deliberate about pushing back, or it's going to swallow us alive. So you have to give financially, but you also have, and that's almsgiving, but you have to give also of yourself. You have to give of your time. You have to give of your attention, right? You have to endure the priest. He's preaching too long. What is this crazy guy doing? Isn't he freezing to death? Can he shut up? No, I can't. I can't and I won't for your sake, because you have to grow in patience. And I'm going to get you there, my friend. I'm going to get you there one homily at a time. No, but when you talk to somebody, how eager are you to get your word in? Maybe Advent season, you give up getting your word in edgewise, as it were. No, you for Advent, perhaps you're going to listen and perhaps not even respond. Maybe Advent, we're going to give up defending ourselves. What a great practice that would be. How generous that would be, right? What are we going to do? How are we going to grow in love of neighbor? Maybe I'm going to shovel my neighbor's walkway. Maybe I'm going to order takeout for him. Maybe I'm going to cook him a nice, don't do this for me. Don't do this for me, my friends. My fridge is full. Okay. Don't do this. But that's the point of almsgiving, growing in love of neighbor. And at the end of the day, that's the measure. Love of God, self, and neighbor. God, self, and neighbor. So, my friends, this is then the measure of our Advent season. Have we grown? Are we growing in love? You could take on all the practices in the world. They'd mean nothing if you were not growing in love. And so if you take on rigorous penances and it makes you more prideful, you've messed it up. You've messed up the Advent season. Now take on little penances, penances that are so small that if you shared them with your friends, they would laugh at you. Those are the best penances because they wound the ego. They hold the ego at bay, and they do accomplish in us love of God, neighbor, and self, all the rest. So my friend, that's it. That's our season. It's a penitential season. We're committed to the practical demands of love. That's what we get in the scriptures. When Jesus says watch, he means watch for the opportunity to live into the new world by love. That's what he means. Be attentive to God's coming among us, his calling us, so that we can follow him closely on the way of self-giving love. That's what Jesus intends. That's how, my friends, we will survive the apocalypse. It may be the end of the world, but Jesus has opened up a new world for us, and we are going to live into it by love and by meeting the demands of love. And by so doing, we will build up God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.